Hello, good evening, and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna. We're going to be talking transfers. We're going to be talking about Arsenal season. We're going to be talking about anything that you guys want. It's the fans' phone-in show, and we've got lots of people lined up for you today, lots of different opinions, and I can't wait to get started. Hello, good evening, and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by AMS Media. As ever, I am your host, Harry Simeon, and it's the fans' phone-in show, the show where we get you guys on to have your say on anything Arsenal. You can throw questions at me, you can give your opinion, you can challenge my opinions if you like as well. I love a bit of that. And we can have all sorts of conversations and discuss anything Arsenal or even football-related if you have a broader topic that you wish to discuss and wish to bring up on the show. That is okay too. I want to start off this broadcast by saying a massive thank you to every single one of you, because I set myself a little target that by the start of next season I wanted to hit 5,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. We've been very, very fortunate over the couple of years that this podcast has been running that we've always had a very solid listenership on the audio platforms, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that stuff. But now we're catching up on YouTube, and I'm delighted by that, because YouTube is something very different. It gives us the visuals, it gives us the ability to communicate face to face, as opposed to just sort of on the audio platform. So I'm delighted to say that despite being sort of slightly ahead of schedule, we have hit that mark. We've hit 5,000. We're on 5,100 at the moment, and 600 subscribers have joined us in just the last 28 days. That is incredible. And I want to say a massive thank you to everybody who's shown this channel support right from the beginning and is with us now, whether you're new, whether you're old, or whatever, it doesn't matter. Welcome. And also a big thank you to those of you who have signed up to become patrons of the podcast as well. I cannot tell you how much of a difference your input has made in terms of us being able to upgrade stuff, do the show more regularly, bring guests on. So it's been wonderful. So again, thank you guys. And without further ado, let's go over to the lines. Let's welcome, first of all, Marble Horse TV. How are you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm not too bad.
Good stuff, mate. What do you want to say about the Arsenal, mate? Anything in particular you want to discuss?
Firstly, this Willian thing. The thing is, I think Willian has been an underrated player. You know, he was part of their, I think it's 2015, 2017 league title team. But he doesn't score that many goals.
I think he's a good player, but the reservation I have of Willian is that I'm not comfortable getting like Chelsea. Okay, I would say has been for Willian, but obviously we had Petr Cech and Luiz. Even going back, William Gallas some years ago. But like, I don't know. I suppose that's the major reservation I have of Willian. I do think he is fundamentally a good player, but it just doesn't sit easy with me on that basis. Another thing is the Coutinho thing. I think he would be a good addition. He hasn't really hit the heights at Barca and Bayern Munich, but he was obviously very good at Liverpool. And I think he would add, well, this isn't a diss Mesut Ozil, but I think he would probably add a bit more of an active creative spark than Ozil would in the current team. The thing is, though, is that I know we've been linked to Gabriel. I think he plays for Lille in Ligue 1, but I think we need to focus well. I just want to see in this window, we focus on the defenders, not so much getting in Gabriel. Obviously, Mari's staying, Luiz is staying. But we need to get rid of the likes of, in my opinion, Socrates. Personally, I don't rate Rob Holding. I don't think he's up to the level that we need to be to get back to top four, or even winning the title, or you know, even Champions League. Mavropanos for me is not the level. I think we need to get rid of the dead wood in defence as much as get somebody in. Nathan Ake, I think, would have been a decent shout. Obviously, now he's gone to Man City. But yeah, those are my views basically
on the comings and
yeah.
Brilliant stuff. And I agree with most of what you said there. The thing with Willian for me is I think what a lot of people need to sort of realise and kind of remember is that with Willian, it's a little bit of a different situation because obviously there is no transfer fee involved. And I know that people are worried about the wages that he's supposedly going to be getting and the length of the contract. But would you not agree that when you look at Arsenal in those wide areas, for example, beyond the starting front three, we don't really have a great deal of experience in those positions. You could argue Nelson, Saka, Martinelli, are they necessarily ready to play at a top level week in, week out? Wouldn't Willian just add an extra layer of quality and experience?
I get where you're coming from in that regard. Because, yeah, Saka and Martinelli are quite young. But
just lost you there, mate. What was that? We've lost the connection. We lost Marble Horse TV. Hopefully we'll try getting back on. Let's go over to the next caller, Raheel. Welcome back to the show, mate. How are you? Raheel, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Hi, Harry.
Good stuff. How you doing, mate? You all right? Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. Really enjoyed the show last time.
No problem at all, my friend. No problem at all. What did you want to say on the Arsenal? What are your feelings on these transfer deals that Arsenal supposedly have in the pipeline? Of course, nothing has been officially confirmed yet, but we think Willian is on his way. We think that Aubameyang is going to sign a new contract. We're being linked with Gabriel Magalhães. We're being linked with Coutinho. We're being linked with a ton of players. What's your take on everything that's going on at the minute?
Well, like I said last week on the show, that I think Willian will be a great addition to the squad. But he isn't the priority we need in the squad. But looking at all the rumours and reading on the internet about all the players when we're linked with it, it's got me thinking, what system are we going to play next season? Because the type of players that will come in will determine what system we and with this new Arteta the new Arteta era, because in the previous season we changed from a 4-2-3-1 to a 4-3-3, then to a 3-5 back three, and then so we kept on changing with Arteta. So it's not what system we're going to play, because I also read the rumors that we might offload Lacazette, and I personally don't think that would be a good idea. Because
what about Lacazette, though? What about if Atletico Madrid turn around and said, if you give us Lacazette, that will get the Thomas Partey deal done? In those circumstances, would you do it?
Yeah, I would. I actually would. The thing is, if we want to play the 4-3-3 formation, then we need another midfielder that's commanding and combative in the midfield, and we don't have that right now. I mean, Xhaka, in my opinion, is pretty good, but he needs more support. He's not your actual typical box-to-box player. He's a deep-lying playmaker, and Partey will add so much steel in the midfield, and Partey drives with the ball, which we've struggled this season. We don't have that midfielder that drives from our box to the opposition box. So I would take, we can work around the front three situation, maybe move Aubameyang to the center, and then is coming on. Another question for me is, Willian normally has been playing on the left, and Pepe plays on the left. So what happens then? Will Willian move on the right and Pepe on the left? So that we also have to wait and see. Because at Chelsea, he predominantly played to the left. Although I was reading that his preferred position is actually through the centre, like a number 10, the striker. So will we see Willian move there? So there's a lot of ifs and buts, and we're not sure because we've been linked with so many players. But going back to the question, I would take Partey for Lacazette. But in an ideal world, both, because what Lacazette does is so important to the team, because when he drops back into that hole like a false nine position, it gives him the license to cut in from the left. And we saw towards the end of the season, Pepe was doing the same thing, cutting it from the right. And I think Pepe is so much better when he cuts in to the center from the right, rather than just playing out and out wide player. So Lacazette is very important from the way we played last season. But like I said, into the next season, we're not sure what formation Arteta is going to play. Exactly. So I would have Partey, definitely. Ideally, I would love to keep Lacazette and get in Partey, but we do have a lot of financial restraints. As always, COVID or no COVID, Arsenal have always have that issue. So we'll have to see what happens there.
Agreed, my friend, agreed. And this is a good time just to pause for a second and say to everybody who's in the live chat at the moment, please hit that like button. It's so, so important. It's like the golden currency on YouTube. We've been getting loads of likes on our recent videos and the numbers have skyrocketed as a result. So if you haven't already, please, please do hit that like button. We're going to come on to talk about some of the news and some of the questions that you guys are raising in the chat as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be touching on those. Just finally, Raheel, if Arsenal could only sign one player this summer, one, just the one, I'm sure, I don't know why I'm holding up two fingers, just the one player this summer, who would you like to see them land? Who do you think is the most important target? What area do you feel is the most important that we strengthen in? And if you could only open your checkbook once, who would you go for?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Realistically.
Realistically, yes, I know. That was just a joke. But yeah, I would again go back to signing Thomas Partey. And the reason why I said, I know some of you, we need a center back more, but we have like 100 center backs, and offloading all of them in one transfer window will not be possible. I think a lot of our defensive frailties come from the midfield. I mean, we saw during the Emery era how easy it was for teams to just slice through our midfield and was straight on our back. And so I think Thomas Partey is more vital than getting a centre back. I think we can still be okay with playing three at the back. We have defenders like David Luiz and Rob Holding, who at the moment are better in the back three because they aren't the best of defenders. But we don't have a lot of options in midfield. If let's say if Torreira even decides to stay, it looks like Guendouzi is on his way, and that's fine by me. Actually, I'll be not one bit sad about that. But Thomas Partey for me would be the most key this season. And a centre back and the rest will be right next to it or right below it. But definitely Thomas point in time would be the most key signing for Arsenal going into next season.
Agreed. I can't disagree with that. I think you're right. I think Thomas Partey is the man that most Arsenal fans want to see come in this summer. Raheel, thank you very much for joining us once again. I know you're in touch all the way from Luxembourg. Hope the weather's as good for you there as it is for us here. And I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Cheers, Harry. Thanks
good
a lot.
Stuff, mate. Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
That was the brilliant Raheel joining us from Luxembourg. Let's move on to our next caller. Welcome to the show, Devon. How you doing, mate?
I'm well, thank you, Harry. How are you, bud?
Not bad, my friend. Where are you joining us from, first of all?
So I'm from Cape Town, South Africa.
How's it going over there, mate?
It's all good, all good.
What's the situation like over there with the, obviously, COVID-19 has gripped the whole world and there's travel bans here and there's travel bans there and there's difficulties. What's it like in South Africa?
Look, in South Africa, we're in level three, but there are still kind of restrictions and we still have a lot of work to do. We are a long way off where we need to be in terms of getting this virus under control and that type of things. We have a lot of work to do, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Yeah. It's hard to criticize people for getting it wrong, because it's not something that anyone's had to deal with before. So we have to kind of slack. What did you want to say on the Arsenal, mate? What have you made of? There's reports today that Willian is undergoing a medical at Arsenal, so it feels like that deal is edging closer sort of by the hour now. We're hoping that by the end of this week we'll know something more, something concrete. First of all, what's your take on the Willian deal? Because that's the one that's closest to getting over the line.
Look, for me, Harry, it is underwhelming, but at the same time, I can understand why Arteta wants to sign him. It's for his experience, of course. You can't place all of that pressure on youngsters like your Saka's on the wing, which I think was just why he took Saka out of the firing line in the sense near the end. So that I can understand. I think you and I both know our areas that really need addressing in our squad is the midfield and our defense. Just touching on what Raheel said before, I wouldn't want to sell Lacazette, but let's be honest, we're not going to get much for Socrates and Mustafi. The only way we're going to get anything reasonable is by selling our assets. In this case, it would be Lacazette and Ainsley Maitland-Niles if we're going to get anything reasonable for them. I wouldn't want to sell Ainsley Maitland-Niles because I think he has come on leaps and bounds as well under Arteta. And I think to a certain extent, you need utility players like him that can slot in at left back and right back. But the area that I really want to see us strengthen is centre midfield, and Thomas Partey is the one that I really, really, really want. I don't think Coutinho is going to happen. I really doubt we're going to sign Willian and Coutinho and a Gabriel. So for me, Thomas Partey is the one, if I have to be honest. That's the one, if I could put one signing that I would really want us to sign as Thomas Partey, because we've lacked that bite in midfield even since the days of Patrick Vieira, to be honest.
Yeah, agreed. Are we running a little bit of a risk? Are we playing a little bit of a dangerous game though with Thomas Partey? Because it's been made very, very clear that Atletico Madrid don't want to do any business until their Champions League campaign has concluded. Mm. Atletico are one of the sides for me that, whilst they're not necessarily the most glamorous, they have the ability to go very far at competition. They're a very stubborn side, very well organised, a very good manager in Diego Simeone. Do we run the risk of sort of waiting through August, hoping that, you know, we may be able to get a deal done for Partey, but then we're kind of leaving ourselves with not very long to go if it doesn't work out? Is that risk worth taking, and is it one that you think Arsenal will take?
You see, Harry, well, you know, with us, we never really get things done as quick as other teams in the market. So I don't, like you said, are we really going to be taking that? Is it willing to take that risk? I think we should just put, as much as you and I would want us to put the money, pay the 50, like they said, the 150 million for him, pay the release clause. You and I both know Arsenal like to mull over transfers. Like you said, that is a risk. But then again, if we are not going to get a Thomas Partey, then maybe we should look at other alternatives. And in example, like a Decore, maybe of a Watford, that type, but at least have a backup plan. The same with a centre-back like Gabriel as well. I saw earlier that Napoli are in talks with him and he might be heading to Napoli. If we're not going to get him, why not maybe go for a defender similar to like a Tarkowski or a Lewis Dunk? You know, somebody that likes to, takes pride in defending, that doesn't have all the spraying the top over the top balls, but just a defender that likes a cheap alternative, but somebody that also takes pride in defending, that just gets the job done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed. It's something we've been missing for quite a while. Just finally, Devon, what do you have in terms of your ambitions for next season? We've seen Mikel Arteta come in. We've seen him steady the ship. We've seen him win the FA Cup. How are you feeling going into next season? I know a lot of it is dependent on what business we get done, but is it a positive outlook going into the 2020-21 campaign? Do you feel like he's the right man to lead us back into the top four based on what you see?
Definitely for me, Harry, definitely. To be honest with you, when Unai Emery, when the way we started, I wrote the season off. I've never experienced such worst times as an Arsenal fan in my life under Unai Emery. And I think for Arteta to do what he has done with this crop of players is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable job. If he can do that with those kind of players, what can he do if he is back? Because let's be real, this is going to be his first proper window that he's going to have. But it's up to the board now to back him. And if they back him, I think we can do great things. We have to take baby steps. We're not going to challenge for the title. That's a working progress. But I think we shouldn't get too carried away with the FA Cup. Yes, it was a nice touch to the end of the season, but for me, a FA Cup should always be the cherry on the top of the cake. But a top four and maybe a FA Cup to add on that, then it would be a successful season for me, because we all know we want to get back into the Champions League. And I don't like this Thursday night football, but if it's a backdoor route into the Champions League, then by all means, for me, top four and an FA Cup, that's what I would want.
Agreed. I can't stand Thursday night football. It just messes up my week every week.
It's Same year. Outside, it's 10 o'clock in the evening. So imagine having to go to sleep at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the evening. Your whole Friday is spoiled.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Everyone, thank you so much, mate, for joining
us. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, my friend. And I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon.
Definitely. Cheers, man.
Cheers, mate. All the best. That was Devon coming to us from Cape Town. Massive thank you to you, my friend. Guys, if you are watching us live on YouTube right now, make sure you've hit that like button. It's so, so important. As I said earlier on in the show, we've really been pushing the likes in the last few videos, and the numbers have been incredible as a result of that. So please, please do hit those buttons if you haven't already. Right, let's come over to our next caller, coming over to Shings. How you doing, mate? Welcome.
I'm good, Matt. How you doing, bro?
Not too bad, mate. Where are you talking to us from?
Sheffield.
Sheffield.
Up in South Yorkshire.
South Yorkshire. When did I come up to Sheffield? I came to the Bramall Lane game where we got
beat.
Yeah,
I was there as well.
Yeah, horrible night that.
Yeah, that
horrible
was
that night.
And you know, I got it from my mates at work.
Yeah, I could imagine. I could imagine. You know what the worst thing about it was for me? There was nowhere decent. I couldn't find anywhere. Maybe it's because I don't know Sheffield, but I couldn't find anywhere decent to eat after. It was just McDonald's. Everything else was closed.
Well, next time you come up, give me a shout. Well, if the fans, hopefully when we have an away day up here again, the fans will be allowed back in. Who knows?
Yeah, fingers crossed. What's your take on the rumoured transfer business, my friend? Of course, we're hearing that the Willian deal is getting closer and closer. What's your take on that?
Well, I've been listening to your videos, obviously, and the Willian one, it's difficult. Obviously, we want someone a bit younger, but in this current climate, and we're now playing in the Europa League, so it's going to be Thursday, Sunday, so we need to have a squad. You know, we can't just be out a one player. And also, I would like to see, you know, if the board just back Arteta, and because I'd like to see us playing a 4-3-3 formation with the cam just behind Aubameyang, if it means selling Lacazette so we can get Partey changed to that formation, then, you know, so be it. Liverpool had to sell Coutinho to get to the next stage, if you remember, you know what I mean? Sell on good players to get to the next stage. I know we'd like to keep him, but if it means we can strengthen elsewhere and get better for the club, then, you know, then they've got to go.
Yeah, I agree with most of that, mate. I mean, a lot of people have sort of not been overly enthused by sort of the prospect of bringing in Willian or any of the players we've been linked with. To be honest, some of them feel like they're a little bit out of our reach. Thomas Partey is somebody that we're very keen on. Whether a deal will be done remains to be seen. What have you made of the reports linking us to Gabriel Magalhães, of course, the Lille defender? I've not seen a great deal of him. I've got to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a French football expert. But he is somebody that is attracting the interests of a number of top clubs in Europe. So that bodes well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like I said, I've not really watched much of him, but I've heard good things, and I've heard he's a left footed as well, which is what Mikel likes as well. Do you know what I mean? He's young, he's 22, so I don't know if I think the report is like 27 million. I think he was saying, but it, you know, like it just depends who we sell, I think, as well, after this Willian deal gets done. So, I don't know. I just want to say as well, do you know, on the selling players, you know, the thing with Maitland-Niles, the report's coming out that the board are overruling Arteta's decision. One thing I don't like to see is that, because one thing I'd say, I would please the board, just keep Arteta happy. Don't disgruntle him in any way, because he's proven that he's a good manager. And, you know, if this board fuck this up, you know what I mean?
It would be frustrating. The one thing I would say, and I say this with quite a bit of confidence, is that I don't believe that is actually the case.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
From, From what I've heard, it's understood that the talk about Ainsley Maitland-Niles departing Arsenal is very much being driven by Ainsley Maitland-Niles' camp, because he wants regular first team football. He wants certain guarantees, which at the moment, I guess Mikel Arteta and the club are not willing to give him. Yes, he turned up in the semi-final and in the final, and he was very, very good. But if we're being completely honest, I think for the most part this season, he wasn't all that great. And so maybe it, well, I believe anyway, that the decision to probably move him on was made previously. The FA Cup may have shown Mikel Arteta something, but I think the decision was already taken.
And just, of course.
Just finally, mate, just because we've got loads of people to get through this evening, how are you feeling about going into next season? Again, I caveat it with we don't know what we're going to do. But are you more positive and upbeat?
Yes, I am. The last season, because last season, the horrible ending of Baku was just, you know, that was horrible. And I didn't have no confidence in Emery after that. But I just have confidence. I just hope the board and some of the fans just give him time. There will be bumps in the road. It's not a 2-year plan. It's a long term plan, you know. And I think, you know, give him the time we need. So hopefully we'll do the right thing. I just want to see Aubameyang signed officially. That's the first thing, and then we'll go from there.
I said it time and time again, mate. That is the most significant business, isn't it, that we would do?
Yeah, definitely. All summer. And you like to bring up your stats as well on Aubameyang. I always see on every show you like to bring up the stats when he's playing from left wing.
he's more effective. The facts say it. He's more effective because when you come from the left-hand side, you haven't got a centre-half stuck to you all the time. And when you arrive that bit late and you arrive in space, it's a big difference. That's right. Thank you so much, mate. Really, really appreciate you coming on. And we hope to speak to you again soon.
Yeah, sound out. No worries, mate.
Cheers, mate. Family, all the best.
Go to family.
Cheers, mate. You too, my friend. Take care.
Bye.
That was the brilliant Shiggs. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend. Right, we're going to come to the next caller in just a second. If you've got any questions, get them in the chat as well. We're going to come to those at the end. Let's welcome our next caller. And he's got a great name. A great fucking name. Harry, welcome to the show, mate. How you doing? Right?
I'm good, Harry. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, my friend. Not too bad. Hot, sweating, melting.
Same as.
Beats the rain and the clouds, though. I've got to say that.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
How you doing, mate? What do you want to say on the Arsenal? What's your take on the situation at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty positive. I think the Willian signing is a good deal. I feel like we're quite ageist in this country when it comes to football. If you think about some of like the Italian players, you know, Pirlos and stuff and Cannavaros, they seem to play in their mid-30s and, you know, and they're appreciated. Whereas anyone in England, you know, whether it's a Beckham or a Gerrard, we seem to phase them out at 32, 33. But I think Willian's, you know, is a good sign, and he's experienced. His stats in terms of goals and assists, they're not outrageously productive. But I think it's where we are at a club at the moment. We need an experienced squad player, and we've got to be creative in the market. The wages are secondary for me, because, like you say, it's a free transfer. So we can't use that as any excuse or even link that to the redundancies of staff. I think it's a good deal. I think over time, it will prove to be a really effective signing. I feel like 32, whilst it feels old, he's fit, right? He keeps himself in good shape. He doesn't really get injured a lot. So I think we just roll with it. And if it helps the younger players, then great. One thing I will say is I just don't want it to hamper those players. I think it's important that Martinelli and Saka get the chance that they deserve, because they've earned that, right? They've done really, really well. And I can see it in big games, the natural choice would be to start Willian with Aubameyang and Pepe or Laka, however you're going to do it. But I think it's really imperative that we let those young players continue to shine. But I believe Arteta knows what he's doing in that respect. And I wouldn't be surprised if we do ever play wing backs. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him start right wing back as well. I know that's a bit of a shout, but I wouldn't be surprised if you just see him starting that position in some games, because I think he's quite versatile, to be fair to him.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. I think he's I think you're right. You make a great point in regards to we have to be careful that he doesn't hamper the development of others. But I just what I said earlier on the show was that I feel like we're putting a lot of pressure on some of those youngsters to come in and do jobs at this moment in time. I think Bukayo Saka's done great. You know, he's earned the contract. Fair play to him. Great to see him sort of picking up and kicking on. My only concern is that you don't want to be too reliant on youngsters because the hardest thing to get out of a youngster is consistency.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, I think the fact that Martinelli has picked up that injury and is likely to sort of take a while to get back to fitness, I think that's probably had an impact on this decision as well. It's about not having Martinelli come back with the world on his shoulders. We don't want that. Yeah. He's an 18-year-old kid and it's so easy to forget that sometimes, isn't it, when you look at what they're doing on a football pitch. Harry, you mentioned the 55 redundancies there. There's been a lot of uproar about that in the last week or so. I've seen lots of Arsenal fans react badly to it. I've seen people that I really, really respect as having calm heads and stuff literally lose their shit about it. And
yeah, I see it.
To me, at the end of the day, and I do have a lot of sympathy for the people that have been made redundant. I've been made redundant in my life before. It's not a nice feeling. It leaves you with uncertainty. It leaves you with worry, with concern. But those people being made redundant is not the same as them being sacked. We're talking about these people are going to get payouts, which will enable them to take the time to find another job. And am I right in saying that this is something that's going to happen across the board in all sorts of walks of life now? Because this pandemic thing has just, quite frankly, fucked up everything.
Yeah, and I think, let's be real, it's already happened to a lot of people, right? It's happened to a hell of a lot of people. And I think Arsenal were brilliant in how they managed it, in how the players decided on the pay cut. So for me, it didn't rock my heart as much as it did everyone else. And I think even those people that you referenced with a calm head, those guys showing a lot of anger towards it, I think that was just thinking with their head and perhaps too passionate. I think if you take a step back and think about it more factually, if you've got an events and hospitality team who can't rent out a ballroom or can't sell sponsor packages or can't, you know, rent out box for games, then, you know, their job isn't as essential as it once was. And if that isn't going to happen in the next 6 to 12 months, then, you know, then they have to be moved on. It's really, really harsh, but, you know, it happens in all walks of life. And the same with the scout that, you know, everyone was mentioning as well. I'm pretty sure they didn't know his name before, but once he gets sacked, you know, it's the biggest loss ever, which I get, he's found some great players, but I'm sure he'll still be involved in a club on a freelance basis, you know, or he'll be...
A scout with 20 years experience like him, with a record like him, is not going to go hungry, is he? That's the reality of it.
Yeah. So listen, it's sad for everyone involved, and I don't want to come across, you know, too callous about it, but, you know, it's the way it works, and we have to make, and the club have to make those decisions, right? And you, like you say, there's two parts of the club. It's on the pitch and off the pitch, and, you know, as selfish as it is, my main concern is how we do on the pitch. I hope that doesn't sound harsh, but
no, I get what you're saying, mate. It's not harsh at all. It's as I said, my heart goes out to those people who have lost their jobs. I really do have a lot of sympathy for him, because I've been in that boat. And, you know, when you've got a family and you're looking after people, you do worry about it. But at the end of the day, Arsenal have gone first, and that was probably their error. But to say that this is not going to happen across the board is, quite frankly, naive. Imagine when the furlough scheme ends here in the UK, how many companies are going to lay people off when the government stop paying their wages. It's just the way of the world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Harry, just finally, mate, how are you expecting Arsenal to get on next season? Again, I'll caveat it with that point. I keep saying it. We don't know what the business is going to be necessarily, but are your ambitions for next season a top four finish, more than that, less than that?
Yeah, I'm quietly confident that we can achieve real good things next year. I don't want to say what that is. I'm not going to say we're going to challenge, but I feel like everything's coming together, and if Arteta can change so much in such a short space of time with a few additions, I feel like it might be a little bit like Football Manager this summer, with lots of, you know, going outs and loans and trying to be creative. But yeah, I'm quietly optimistic. I feel like Europa League is going to be a horrible competition regardless, you know, once all those big teams leave the Champions League and get involved. It's just a horrible competition. But you never know, we could go quite far in that. But when it comes to the league, I'm really confident we can finish top four. I don't want to say comfortably, but I think we can definitely do it.
Good stuff. Harry, thank you so much for joining us. Where are you talking to us from, by the way? I should have asked you at the start.
I'm East London, Walthamstow.
Okay, not too far from me, down the road.
Where about you guys?
I'm in Enfield at the moment, so it's down the road. Lovely. Harry, thank you so much, mate, and we hope to speak to you again soon.
Cheers, mate. Take care. All the best.
Take care, mate. That was Harry. Thank you very much for your participation, my friend. Let's move on to our next caller. Sebin, how you doing, mate? Where are you talking to us from?
Yeah, mate. I'm calling from India.
Whereabouts, my friend?
I'm calling from India.
Which part?
Yeah.
Yeah, which part, my friend? Which part of India?
Yeah, it's a state called Kerala. Yeah, it's just near.
Okay.
One state, yeah.
Lovely. What do you want to say about the Arsenal, my friend?
Yeah, I think it's been a really exciting season for us, all Arsenal fans, because, you know, we have won a cup after a couple of years. So it's something very exciting for all of us. But actually, I have to add a couple of points, Harry, here. Actually, what I want to see from Arsenal as a unit right now is a plan and structure in the transfer seasons. You know, because even in the last, you know, transfer season, what we saw was a real structure. I don't know, people have really thought about it, but, you know, if you look at the way that we have brought players, you know, most of them are players which we can sell as assets. You know, basically, you know, if you add all those players, you know, if you look at the likes of Tierney, Pepe, you know, even Ceballos, if that loan deals go through and becomes a permanent deal, and even Saliba, I think, and it was a very smart move from Arsenal, you know, to get someone like Luis in there, you know, just to add a bit of experience in that mix. Yes, he might be a joker at sometimes, but I think he has added a lot of important, you know, assets to our club as if you go into it. So that's exactly what I want to see from this Arsenal unit, even in this season, you know, even in this transfer season. Yes, I can understand why we are going for a billion, but I don't want all those players to be of that particular age, Harry, because I seriously believe the only way we can challenge, you know, is past 2, 3, 4 years. Now, there is no way we are going to challenge Liverpool or Man City in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Do you not think the likes of Willian would help us maybe get over the line in terms of qualifying for the Champions League? Because I think when Arsenal dropped out of the Champions League originally, everybody thought, right, it's a disaster, but we'll be back. We'll be back next season. We'll spend some money in the summer and we'll be back. I don't think Arsenal anticipated being out of the competition for as long as they have. And a lot of the time, we've sort of, well, since then, we've just not had the character. That's what we've really lacked, in my opinion. We've always had the ability, but the character hasn't been there. The mentality hasn't been there. And you said that David Luiz has brought lots to the table at Arsenal. I absolutely agree with you. He's brought a great deal behind the scenes. Is Willian not another piece of that puzzle in terms of building that experienced group of players that will help us just cross the finishing line?
Yeah, I got that point. But actually, what I was trying to say is that if we just buy a billion in this season, in the sense that if he's the only experienced player in the same side, okay, 28 plus, I can understand that. But if we just go after get Coutinho, and this is one important point I'm going to ask, say that even in the case of Thomas Partey, because I just looked at his age and he was around 28. But by the time we are going to fight for a title, which will be in 2, 3 years, he will be past his prime. So then I think we have to say, you know, we have to get other player in that same position. What I want is from Arsenal is that get a core of people in the group of say 20 to 23, even if we just don't get the Champions League next season. But what I mean by that is that these players should grow together. You know, look at this age, you know, I want this age to be around 20, 22 to 25, 26 like that. So that in the 2, 3 years, when they hit the prime together, we can really.
Just lost you there, Sebin.
In 2, 3 years time back, you know, past the prime, and we have to do a rebuilding job again. We will be back to the same circle. I know it's not going to be a point that will won't be accepted by many, but I seriously believe that's the way we have to go through right now. I can understand why we go after Thomas Partey. Yeah.
I was just going to say, sorry, my connection lagged a little bit, and I thought you got you was frozen, but it was me. Don't worry. I was just going to say, I totally take on board what you're saying. I think it is about looking in the future. I think Arsenal need to rebuild completely. What I would maybe say, and tell me if you disagree, is no problem. Is that maybe I think that if you're talking about title challenges at the moment, that maybe you're looking a little bit too far ahead, because Arsenal getting into the Champions League right now is so important to the club in so many ways. It's important from their status point of view. It's important from a financial point of view. And in my opinion, we're never going to get to that level where we can challenge for a title unless we start playing regular Champions League football again because of everything that comes with it. So I feel like I get what you're saying, that you want to buy players a younger group and let them grow together. But I feel like we can't just say, don't worry about the Champions League. It's the next step. And then when we get that step, then we can look further forward. I think maybe we're looking a bit too long term.
Yeah, Harry. Yeah, I got that too. But Harry, but a small issue with this that is, in order to get into the Champions League, what we are doing is that we are buying players in that age. You know, I don't have a problem with us going to in order to get to the Champions League. The problem that I have with is that the age of the players that we are going after. You know, that's why I think that last couple of seasons transfer was very good, because we bought players in the age of 22, that range, you know, 20 to 25. But right now we are being linked with this Philippe Coutinho, this, you know, Thomas Partey. You know, I know Thomas Partey is a chop player. He's an incredible player. I don't have any doubts regarding that. But if we get these players, you know, say the Willians, the Philippe Coutinhos, this, you know, Thomas Partey, yes, we can get into the Champions League. And we might do brilliantly in the Champions League for a couple of seasons. But the issue is that by the time, you know, they just, when their prime will be entered there. That's my issue. I know I can understand what you're saying. I know. But so the thing is that there's just one thing, one important point that I'd add here is that what we have observed from Arteta until now, you know, things like that, he's brought some structure, he's brought some plan, you know. And one important point is that he's incredibly good at working with young players. That's something that I think we have to notice here right now. You know, the way he has handled Saka's situation has been unbelievable. Everyone keeps saying that he needs to play every minute of it, every minute of it. But I like the way he used it. He just, you know, brought his, you know, gave him his contract. Now you go and sit into the bench, mate. Now you have to go and sit into the bench. You have to earn your spot. I like what he was doing. The same with Nelson. He wasn't throwing them. He wasn't, you know, throwing them under the bus in some ways and just pushing them every games. He just said, okay, mate, calm down. Now go and sit into the bench.
I agree. But that also highlights that he values experience, doesn't it? The fact that he doesn't want to throw them in, it says that in his eyes, experience is important, which kind of answers the question as to why he might be looking at some of these players that we've mentioned.
Yeah, I got it. That's exactly what I said, man. I can understand why you go for it, but that's what I think that we should be doing in something like that. Because, you know, 2-3 years down the line, we will be playing in Champions League. But the issue is that, you know, we will be just back to the years of 2010, 12, 13. You know, we will be playing there. Then we have to start losing players again. Then we have to rebuild again. This process will go on and goes on and goes on. I would rather have been us out of the Europa League even next year. And when we get into the Champions League, we should be absolutely ready to pump it up. Just like say, you know, this might be far too big of an, you know, consideration. Something like a Borussia Dortmund. Look what they do. You know, yes, it's just far too fetched. You know, but I like what they do. You know, in the sense that they go with a lot of hungry young players together in order to push into that league. You know, when they get in the Champions League and when a team goes up against them, they know they are in for some show in that night. You know, yeah. But I just don't think, yeah, I just don't think that maybe Arsenal might get in the Champions League, but I just don't think, you know, maybe 2-3 years down the line, we will be again back to the same thing, you know, same age, you know, ages will be around 28, 29. We have to start doing the same thing again and again and again.
I get that. And I guess my final point would be, I totally get that. And that was a really, really frustrating period for Arsenal. It felt like we weren't getting anywhere. We were qualifying for the Champions League. We get hammered in the last 16. And it was a cycle over and over again. And I totally get that. But what I would say is unless you're going to give someone the time and the money, more importantly, the money to go and build a team the way, because let's have it right. Everybody praises Jurgen Klopp. and talks about how much of a wonderful job he's done. He's been able to build that team because he's had money, because the club have sold players for huge profits. So unless Arsenal are going to have all of those things, the patience, the money, it's either that or the Manchester City approach, which is tons of cash. You know, go spend £160 million on fullbacks that you don't even play. Unless you do that, then it's going to be very, very difficult to ever be more than a Champions League club. But Sebin, thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Sure, and thanks a lot for the show.
No problem, my friend. Speak soon. All the best.
Thanks. Yeah.
That was Sebin joining us from India, from the Kerala state. Let's move on to our next caller. I want to say big thanks to all the callers waiting, actually, in the background, because I know you guys have been really, really patient, and I'm trying to get through as many as I possibly can within the hour. So bear with me. I will come to you all, I promise. Wasu, welcome back to the show, mate. How you doing?
How you doing, Harry?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. I don't know. The transfer going on right now, William, I think we talked the last time we spoke. I told you my mind, I think you reasoned with it, so I think we're cool with that. I thought that from the beginning, I guess he knew where he wanted. It was good. He needed a 6, I think an 8 and a 10, but he knows he needs a left-footed defender, which the Gabriel link we're having. I don't get to see the French league too, pretty much, but I did a research and I saw a couple of his clips.
Yep,
I think it's gonna be something, you know, for a couple of years. He's gonna learn a couple, because I think it's just 22.
Yep, that's right. Yep,
it's 22, right. So he's gonna learn. And pretty much, if we get him, because what we're hearing is that Napoli is in the race for him also. So, pretty much, but if we get him, fine.
My understanding is there are a lot of clubs looking at Gabriel at the moment. So, he is someone who is attracting interest from a lot of places.
I guess there's always an option. Because even the Thomas Partey, whatever, we're told we have to pay the full cost to be able to get him from the links everybody's reporting. So if we don't, I think there's going to be a plan B too. Because I never thought...
Who would be your plan B, Wesu? Who would be your plan B?
Danilo from... Porto. I think it's Porto. I've seen him play a couple of times in Champions League and Europa League. You know, he has that calmness. It reminds you of, I think, Gilberto and Vieira, kind of, you know, slow. He's going to control the game. Even Edu-like. I think that's the reason why Partey is kind of different. Partey is a power player, but he could control the game at his own pace too. We need that kind of player in the midfield. I think Danilo will be my plan B. I think Arteta should, he knows better. I know he has probably a plan A, plan B, because he said it a couple of times, a couple of interviews, like, okay, any situation we find ourselves. If we're not going to be in Europe, there's a plan. If we're going to be in Europe, there's a plan. So I think, yeah, he's going to be my second option.
Great stuff. Wasu, thank you so much, mate. I'm going to have to move on just because I've got loads of people waiting, my friend, and we're running out of time. But thank you again
You are.
And we'll speak to you, my friend. Take care, mate.
Easy. Yeah, take care. Bye.
That was the brilliant Wasu, regular and patron as well. Thank you so much, Wasu, for your continued support. Guys, quick one. Have you hit that like button yet? Have you hit that like button? If you haven't already, make sure you have. It's so, so important for us, as I keep saying, in terms of pushing the video up the YouTube ranks. Let's go to our next caller. He goes by the name of Le African Guna. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Hi, Harry. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, as you said, everyone like and subscribe to the channel.
I love that. I haven't paid him to say that, I promise. Yeah. Where are you talking to us from, mate?
I'm talking to you from South Africa right now.
Okay. Whereabouts?
In Johannesburg. So I did see a fellow South African on from Cape Town. Yes. And he actually, I mean, I heard about a bunch of the people after him, and he talked a bit more sense than the last few people. I'd like to say that. I mean, yeah, for me, really, I mean, the Indian guy was talking about the assets that we have at Arsenal. We don't have any assets. The only asset we have really is Aubameyang and Ozil. And we all know that Ozil is pretty much dead food. He's out of the team. No other team in the world really would want him. And you can't blame other teams in the world not to want him, because he's not the player that he used to be. In regards to what he was saying, I would also sign Partey. I mean, we pay $43 million for his clause. As he said, we know Arsenal is a very stingy club. Why are we wasting time on this deal? This is one of the main deals for the next 2-3 years that we need. I mean, I am not a fan of Xhaka to the point where I can say that I hate him. And I think the club made me hate him because they keep playing him when I don't like him, right? It's not that I hate him as a person. I just think as a footballer, with him and the team, he makes too many mistakes. He's too slow on the ball. He's very left-footed. There are just too many negatives with him. So we need to sign Partey. And I'm okay to play Partey and Xhaka, but I think to fix that spine, Partey is pivotal. And if that means to sell Torreira, you know what? I like Torreira, and I think that he hasn't had much of a chance this season. I think Emery killed his confidence when he played him in the wrong position as a 10. I'd get rid of Torreira if it meant, you know, 100% guaranteed to get Thomas Partey. Now, in regards to Willian, I see a lot of fans getting upset about him. We have to be honest. He's a phenomenal player. Yes, he's not the player that he was 2-3 years ago. But for a team like us, we don't have the money. We can't spend 35, 40 million on Zaha on that left wing when we have Saka and Martinelli potentially as replacements. So for me, I think Willian's a good signing if it means that Arsenal actually go and spend money on Partey and a center back. We're talking about Gabriel. I mean, he's young. He's going to make mistakes. Saliba looks like an absolute monster. I mean, he towers David Luiz, so he looks very promising. So maybe them two together would be really, really promising. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is Lacazette. I really love Lacazette, but I think that – and I do think he's overrated. Don't get me wrong. He brings a lot to our team. And even though he's not scoring and assisting, I think that the hold-up play that he has is very different to something that Aubameyang or anyone else can provide to us. But – I mean, I don't want to see him retire at Arsenal. There's a couple of problems for me. The first one is that I want Aubameyang to play as the central striker. I know, Harry, you were talking about, you know, how he's a pacemaker, and on the left wing, he's not marked by center back, but his whole life is played as a striker. A lot of the times when we play bigger teams and we struggle and Aubameyang's not in the game, it's because he plays out on the wide and there's no creativity in the team to get him in the game. He's behind the defender player. You play a ball over the top, like Kieran Tierney has several times, and every single time, 3 out of 4 times, Aubameyang is scoring that. So if it means that we need to get rid of Lacazette, get that money in to spend on the rest of the team, I'm keen to do that. So
let me just pause you 1 second, my friend, only because lots of people are asking in the chat how they can jump on the show. If you want to jump on the show, all you need to do is head over to Twitter @Chronicles_AFC, follow us, send us a DM, and I will send you the link back straight away, and you can join us, and you will join the guys waiting backstage in our virtual studio to come on the line. Just want to challenge you on a couple of the points, and this is healthy debate. I love debate. And when I heard you start, I was rubbing my hands because I love this kind of stuff. Right. First of all, the Xhaka thing. Arsenal have been an abomination when Xhaka hasn't played in the midfield this season. We've been terrible. I don't necessarily think he is the greatest midfielder in the world. I've never said that. But what I will say is he is very important to this team. And you've seen that since Mikel Arteta has come in, he has improved a great deal. And that is because the system is more accommodating of him and it leaves him less exposed than previous systems. In regards to the Aubameyang thing, and a lot of people have this debate with me about Aubameyang playing through the middle. Actually, when you look at the stats, Aubameyang isn't as effective through the middle. It's on paper. It's black and white. And those runs that you were talking about in the FA Cup semi-final and in the final, when those balls were coming down the channels, the centre-forward doesn't get on the end of those balls because the centre-forward, wherever he goes, he's got a centre-back up of his ass. So it's a very, you know, in an ideal world, I'd like to see Aubameyang play through the middle. But our centre-forward role is no longer the traditional centre-forward position that we've seen in years gone by. We see We saw Manchester City walk all over Real Madrid the other day with Phil Foden playing as a ghost number nine. We saw Barcelona do it for years. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that role is adapted. And if we're going to play in a way where our centre forward's task is to drop deep and create space for others, then you're wasting Aubameyang there, are you not?
Yeah, so I love this because I have different opinions on both. I'll start off with the Aubameyang thing. The first one is we're comparing his stats at Arsenal when he plays as a striker, right? If you look at his career when he plays at Dortmund, he never played on the left or right wing. He was scoring all those goals from the striker. But listen, I hear you, Harry, right? Lacazette comes in deep and opens up that space for Pepe and Aubameyang. But the thing is, we can change our style of play, right? If we have Willian, we have Aubameyang, and we have Pepe, we don't really need Lacazette. We don't need someone to come and hold up the play. If we get a Thomas Partey and Ceballos in the midfield who can actually create, we don't need Lacazette to come in back in the deep, you know, deep into the field to collect the ball and start doing things, because we'll have people like hopefully Coutinho and Partey to take the ball and bring it up totally, you know, in the opposition's half and make things happen. The problem is Lacazette's coming to collect the ball to make things happen. And against the bigger teams, usually when we're not playing a low block, we can't, you know, we don't have the creativity to find those passes and stuff that Ozil is, you know, renowned to. And now in terms of, you know, Harry, you were talking about Xhaka. Listen, I agree with you. He is important. But the thing that really bothers me, and it boils my blood, right, is that the only reason that he's important is because there's absolutely no one else. Listen, also, you know, not even in the team, there's no other experienced player for Xhaka. Not only that, we spent 35, 40 million on him. He does basic things that you expect a 40 million midfielder to do. So for me, yes, he is important, but it's only because there's absolutely no one else. You're not going to rely on Joe Willock and these type of players to come in and do a Xhaka role, right? So for me, I mean, we're overhyping him too much. He's supposed to be doing all these things, these passes that he does. You're a professional football player. You should be doing that, you know, at high school level type of things. You know, you need, before you're even a professional, you need to be able to do these things.
So is there not an argument though, my friend? Is there not an argument? And I don't mean to, like, I don't want this to come out the wrong way. So I am someone who's gone from being a fan to this being my job.
Yeah.
Now, 2 years ago, when I used to watch Arsenal Football Club, I was only a fan. And now I'm in a position where, for my day job, I'm being asked to criticize and analyze and focus on players. And you know, and I find that hard sometimes. I'll tell you why I find it hard, because I'm an Arsenal supporter first and foremost. I was an Arsenal supporter before, you know, anything else. And now, I do look into things probably in a little bit too much detail, et cetera, et cetera. But is there not an argument that as fans, sometimes we have to just look at someone like Granit Xhaka and look at the positives and say, this guy had an absolutely shit situation earlier in the season where he, you know, and by the way, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I blame the fans for that entire incident. I was at games for weeks where Granit Xhaka was getting booed by our fans and there was ironic cheers when he was being substituted off. That's why he snapped that day against Crystal Palace. That was building for ages. What my point is there a point where as fans, and I'm not saying that, you know, that you, this is just specifically to you. I'm talking in general. As fans, instead of always looking at, oh, we wish we had this guy, we wish we had that guy, isn't it our responsibility to look at the players we do have and to support them and to get behind them rather than every time they make a mistake being the first to jump on their backs? At the end of the day, they're human beings. They make mistakes. I make mistakes in my job. I'm sure you do. I'm sure everybody does. Would you always like to necessarily be crucified for every error you make? And I know that the classic comeback is, but they get paid this much. They get paid that much. It doesn't matter how much money you got in your bank account. If people are bombarding you on Instagram, calling you every name under the sun, that gets to you. It does.
Sure. So a couple of things, Harry. The first thing is, regardless of the incident that happened with Xhaka, it did not change my feelings on him. I think he was a bad player before, and I still think he's a bad player now. Yes, he's improved, but I still don't think that he's good enough. The second thing is, in regards to the fans booing and stuff, that's the club's fault, right? The club kept playing him. The club gave him the captain's armband after all the mistakes that he has. I mean, as a fan, right, you get tired of a player and he keeps getting shoved into your mouth, right, when you don't like him. So that time when he actually got subbed off, everyone was like, holy crap, he's actually coming off. Applaud, right? It wasn't like, I think it was looked at the wrong way. And then the third thing for me, Harry, is yes, I understand totally. First of all, he's a professional and should be trained on how to accept some of the stuff. I'm not saying it's okay that fans are doing that. Absolutely not. But you can't control the world, and that's part of, you know, being a professional athlete. These things, either you don't pay attention to it, or you get a coach to teach you how to ignore it. The last point for me is in terms of Granit Xhaka, right? If we could sell him for 40 million, right, Harry, and we buy Partey for 43 million. Right now, so we get 40 million for Xhaka, we add 3 million, and we get Partey. You can't tell me that any fan wouldn't take that deal, and that just proves that he's not, you know, he's not the player for us.
But that's like pretending you're playing Football Manager. That's not the reality of it, is it? That's not the reality. Stay with me 1 second, mate. I'm going to bring on another caller. I'm going to keep you there. Stay with us. Mohammed, welcome to the show, mate. How are you doing?
Good. How about you guys?
Chilling.
Not too bad, mate. Where are you calling us from, Mohammed?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Welcome back to the show, mate. I know that, but for the rest of the guys that are listening, what do you make of these opinions on Xhaka and on Aubameyang? And, you know, very strong opinions. You've sparked the show into life. Go on, Mohammed, what's your take on what our friend here is saying about those players?
I was with him when the Xhaka incident happened last what was it, October, November. I lost my mind. I was irate, but then I remember I listened to you talk about it after, and you sort of won me over, because I was done with Xhaka. I wanted him out the club. I couldn't understand why he was captain. But then I remember how Lucas Torreira, when that happened, how upset he was. And I remember some of the players were upset. And I kind of understood that he is a leader in a team that doesn't have many leaders. He is one of them. And he does make a lot of mistakes. But then you see with a manager like Mikel Arteta, who organized the rest of the team, and that can limit players' mistakes, such as him, David Luiz, Mustafi. And you see that they're making less mistakes, which is why they've played better to end the season. Because, for example, I remember the Watford game. You remember the Watford game, when that game in the end, when we gave up the two goal lead that we had, the goal that they scored, De Olofeu's penalty, there was a huge space between Xhaka and the back four, and they got past Xhaka like he wasn't even there, and then David Luiz committed the penalty. I haven't seen that kind of large gaps in between the midfield and the back four since we changed his 3-4-3 system, which is why he's played much better.
Yeah, agreed with all of those points. It's just, I mean, for me, he's a very divisive character. And I just think, like, everybody refers back to that incident and they talk about it a lot. And why I get frustrated is because we can sit here and we hear people say that he doesn't concentrate. And I'm not saying that you guys are saying this. I'm just saying the general sort of criticism that tends to come Granit Xhaka's way is he switches off. He's one of the mentally weak players in our squad, et cetera, et cetera. You don't come back from what he come back from if you're mentally weak. You don't come back on the pitch and perform the way you have. That is someone who's grafted to get to where he is, and somebody who appreciates where he is and is working extremely hard to improve all the time. I totally agree that he's not the finished article. I totally agree that he's, that there are upgrades available on Granit Xhaka out there. But I guess my take on it at the moment is that we don't have a great deal of funds at Arsenal Football Club. We know that right now. And therefore, for me, when I look at Granit Xhaka, he is not somebody that I feel is a priority in terms of the players we need to upgrade on. I think we are far worse in many other areas. And I think that it's proven that when the team is lined up correctly, you get more out of Granit Xhaka, as you do with Shkodran Mustafi. And it just shows that these players, you know, yes, they're not great, but were they as bad as we made them out to be? Or were they being exposed? Because if you think back, I mean, look at Mikel Arteta, for example. Take Mikel Arteta, right? You look at him now and you just think, wow, what a football brain. What a football brain this man has. Sure. Yet when he played in the defensive midfield position for Arsenal, he was exposed every fucking week. He was chasing shadows. People were running past him for fun. And it just goes to show that sometimes if you don't have the physical attributes, it doesn't matter if you know where to be and you know where you should be. You just can't do that. And Xhaka is limited in some senses in terms of his physical attributes. And we've just got to accept those limitations and find ways of plugging those holes. In the long run, yes, you would love to get upgrades in and players that you don't have to build sort of systems around in order to protect them from their errors. But that isn't the reality at the moment. And I just feel like there are far more pressing concerns. I mean, Mohamed, let's talk about Ainsley Maitland-Niles, because he is somebody who is being linked away, linked with a move away. We've heard today a little bit of an update that there are three clubs interested in bringing him in, two Premier League and one from the Bundesliga. They've not been named. But would you like to see the club try and hold on to him?
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, I would. But we brought in Cedric in January, and that seemed like a replacement for him, you know, because there's no point of having Bellerin, Maitland-Niles, and Cedric. But the last two games, I think, while we can take a lot of positives from the last two games, we can't let it shape the whole picture. And when you're kind of a player that, like him, who can play in many different areas, will you ever find a defined role? And will you ever get constantly into the team, you know? And depending on the fees that we could get for him, will it help us, you know, strengthen the rest of the squad, such as Partey, deals like Gabriel, and other areas of need? It depends on the fee, really.
Yeah. What about you, my friend? What's your take on the Maitland-Niles situation?
I just wanted to add one thing, Harry and Mohamed. We're talking about leaders, and Jack is a leader. For me, and I know people talk about Donald Trump being a leader who, you know, is a total flop, but for me, a leader is someone who doesn't make mistakes on the pitch, right? They're giving an 8 or a 9 out of 10 every single game. And for a person like Jack, who continuously gets red cards, makes stupid fouls, gives away goals, for me, he's not a leader, even though I know everyone else calls him a leader. So that was just wanted to get that off my chest regarding that.
All right, I'm going to throw this back. two of those things that you mentioned, yeah. Red cards and giving away stupid fouls. Patrick Vieira used to do those all the time. I can count how many games Patrick Vieira, and I love him, he's one of my all-time favorite Arsenal players, but Patrick Vieira cost us football matches with his head because he wasn't calm in certain situations, because he got himself sent off in very important games. And Arsenal fans are probably going to jump on my back about saying this, because God forbid I criticise Patrick Vieira. But the reality is that did happen. There were so many games we went down to 10 men, whether it was Vieira, whether it was Emmanuel Petit, Sol Campbell did it in certain occasions. It doesn't make you not a leader if you get sent off. I mean,
Fair enough. It's something in me that, like, I think growing up, it's just like, you know, if I see a player on my team who I can't depend on and is consistently making the mistakes that Mustafi, David Luiz, and Xhaka are making, listen, I don't respect that player, and I'm not even a professional football player, right? So for me, when you're playing for Arsenal, right, and you're looking at Xhaka, I mean, making all these mistakes and giving games away, for me, I'm just like, you know, I can't trust this guy with the ball. So that's just my opinion. In terms of Ainsley Maitland-Niles, I've changed my view on him quite massively. To be honest, in the first half of the season, I was like, sell him. He's garbage. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's too lackadaisical. He doesn't run. I mean, he was showing kind of Ozil traits, being very lazy, feeling entitled that he deserves to play for Arsenal. And I think since Arteta's come, I mean, yeah, he came late to training that one week, and Arteta's completely changed him. This kid is a superstar right now. You can play him. He's so versatile, right? He's like Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. He has so much talent. You can play him anywhere. My issue is, if we do sell him, right, for 40 million like he will be, are we actually going to invest that money properly? That's all that I'm worried about. I wouldn't sell him, but if we do sell him, I want to see that money put into Partey or into a first team player that's going to come into Arsenal and change the whole, you know, the whole mentality and the structure of the team. Because over the years, we always have one superstar player, whether it's Sanchez, Aubameyang, Van Persie. I mean, the list goes on and on. We never build on these players, right? Now we're hearing Coutinho, Willian, Aubameyang, Partey, Saliba. That's like five really solid players in our starting 11. And, you know, if we're ever going to challenge for a title, that's the type of, you know, start that we need. We need to start adding all these, you know, players on, having Leno and Martinez as two number one keepers fighting for that spot. We need that in every single position. And that's what successful teams do. Barca, Real, look at Liverpool and Man City. They have the same starting 11, every game, and their bench is stacked because they're good teams and have talented players. So, yeah, that would be my take on Maitland-Niles.
Okay. I'm going to have to move it on, guys, just because I got to bring on someone else. Mohamed, stay where you are for a few more minutes. My friend, thank you. What's your actual name, my friend?
So, I go by the African Gooner.
The African Gooner. Thank you so much, mate. It's been great chatting to you. And I'm sure we'll speak again very soon.
We will.
All the best, mate. Take care.
Take care.
That was Le African Guna. Mohammed, stay where you are for a moment. We're going to bring on our next caller in just a second. Quick reminder, if you haven't smashed that like button, please, please do so. I hate banging on about it, but it is so, so important. Big thank you to everyone who's subscribed to the channel. If you haven't already, make sure you do. We reached the 5,000 subscribers mark, which is incredible. Delighted by that. And a big thank you to everyone. And of course, if you want to become a patron, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/thechroniclesofaguna. You'll get access to exclusive content. You'll get priority on these phone-in shows, and you'll get a free gift after 3 months of membership. So as I said, it's not you're not obligated to do so, but if you feel like you want to support the podcast, then we welcome it, I assure you. Right, let's bring on our next caller. Welcome back to Mr. Albert. Where are you talking to us from, mate? How you doing? We can't hear you, Albert. I'm not sure what's going on. I think you're... Hold on. Come in, Albert. Hold on a minute. Have you got your microphone on mute? It's showing up as mute on the screen. No, we can't. Say something, mate. No, your microphone's showing as mute. Go on your StreamYard, and there you go. There he is. There he is. How you doing, Albert?
Yeah, good, man. Not too bad, mate.
Good.
Congrats.
What did you make?
5,000, mate.
Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate that. Thank you. What did you make of all of those, the Xhaka comments, the Aubameyang comments? La African Guna came on and set the show on fire. What did you make of his views?
Well, I've made no secret. I'm not a massive fan of Granit Xhaka anyway, but that's not, I'm not alone in that, to be honest. But since Arteta's come in, or since more or less Project Restart, should I say, in terms of Granit Xhaka, then to be honest, he's even surprised me. And we have missed him when he's not been in the team. But I want to mention something quickly about Mesut Ozil. I'm not going to say too much because, you know, if you talk about Mesut Ozil, like, you feel like you need witness protection from a lot of...
No, let's do it. We haven't done that tonight.
I remember when I first saw Mesut play, I think it was 2010 World Cup in South Africa, and I thought for them 3 years he was outstanding. And when we actually signed him, I can't find an Arsenal fan that wasn't thinking, wow, like, how have we managed to pull this off? But when you fast forward his time at Arsenal, it is sad to see. But I just think what it is for me with Mesut Ozil, does he have the desire to even want to play football, to be honest with you? And I think that, to me, that's what stands out a bit more. You know, under 4 different managers have left him out of the team for various different reasons. But that's what I want to say about that. But another quick point was the spine of the team as well. It's imperative we get a centre-back in and the defensive midfield player. We need some physicality in that midfield area. And, you know, Gabriel, although we don't know too much about him, Harry, he actually excites me. Sort of reading stuff from, I think it is, what's his name, Adam White from Get French Football News, was talking about, he was saying that he's better in a 2, and, you know, he could play in a 3, but he's better as a 2, and no major injury worries, which is a big factor for Arsenal, to be honest. And on top of that, I think he likened him to, in terms of an equivalent, to like a Rio Ferdinand. So if that's true in terms of what we're getting potentially, then I'm very excited. And I think the last thing on the point I want to make to you guys, both of you, see what you think, but it's about Mikel Arteta. I don't know if you remember the documentary, Best of Enemies, Vieira and Roy Keane,
yep.
Yeah, and it's always sticks in my mind, Harry, when Gabriel Clark asked Patrick Vieira about Arsene Wenger, and he asked him the question, what's Wenger's greatest strength and greatest weakness? And I thought it was interesting that Patrick Vieira had the same answer for both questions. And he said, trust. Now, I think now that Arteta's come into Arsenal, when he sat in that dugout on December 15th in the Man City dugout, I thought, wow, if I'm going to take on this job, I've got a lot of work to do. And then having got the job, and I think he's even said it himself, the job is even bigger than he thought it was. So he needs to identify very quickly, if he hasn't, and I think he's a smart cookie to do it, who he can trust going forward in the course of a season with these Arsenal players. And the players, I would say, if I'm being brutally, brutally honest, Harry, over a course of a season, who I would put my house on it, not that I would really put my house on it anyway, but who I would guarantee to be trustworthy in this team, I'd say Aubameyang, Tierney, Saka, and the two goalkeepers. And that's the God's honest. I think if you're being brutally honest, because it's a bit, again, like I said, it's about having trust in these players. I don't think, as Arsenal fans, and as Arteta can see what he's seen, knows who he needs to walk out the door and who he can trust. And for me, that is imperative going forward for this Arsenal group of players.
I think I agree with you. And the trust thing is massive. You need to have players that you trust, that you can rely on, et cetera. The problem here is that, I've said it before, Mikel Arteta doesn't go to bed at night and dream of having this group of players that he has. Yeah. But the reality is that this is what he's got.
And
to some degree, you have to trust them to a degree. Otherwise, your job is impossible. And, you know, yes, they will let you down at times. And that is part and parcel of the job. But, I mean, we watched Real Madrid the other night, and we watched Rafael Varane, who's
unbelievable,
world's best centre-halves. And look what he done. So it's just proof, isn't it, that players can make mistakes, players can switch off. Football's a funny game. It's not as straightforward as some people make it out. And it's like some people look at football as like this kind of like this simulation of what should happen every week, but the circumstances are always different. You know, fitness comes into it, injuries come into it, refereeing decisions impact games. There's so much that can go for you or against you in a game of football that it's not always a case of, you know, do we have the right players? Sometimes you can have the greatest squad in the world and you still get beat. So, you know, I guess that's my point. And just before I come to you, Mohamed, just want to touch on some of the chat stuff at the moment. A lot of people are outraged that I compared Xhaka and Vieira. I haven't compared.
No, you didn't say that. I heard Vieira.
All I've said is that Vieira had that characteristic in him as well of losing his head in a game of football and getting himself sent off. It happened time and time again with Patrick Vieira, and it was one of the biggest criticisms that was levelled at Arsenal during that period was our terrible disciplinary record. Rather than people jumping in the chat and saying that I'm saying that Xhaka is as good as Patrick Vieira, I'm absolutely not. I'm just saying that characteristic is something that they both had. Mohamed, what's your take on sort of, I don't want to go over it too much, but the Mesut Ozil thing? It's rumbling on. We've heard in the last few days that perhaps Arsenal are looking to move him on, that they're trying to find a way of getting him out of that contract. There's a couple of clubs in Turkey who are said to be showing a little bit of a casual interest. He was pictured with someone from Istanbul, Başakşehir, the other day. What would you do if you were Arsenal? Would you go to knock on Mesut Ozil's door and say, here's your money, see you later? Or would you just let this whole saga continue? Because it's not helpful, is it?
It's not. It's not. And this is, I'm conflicted because when I started watching football, my early days, 9-10, was around that 2010 World Cup, was when I really started understanding the game and really getting into it. And he was my favorite player. He became my favorite player when he joined Arsenal. So it's been really tough over the last number of years to see the way it's gone for him, as I'm as sure for every Arsenal, the best number 10 in the world, no doubt about it. All those goals Ronaldo got, a lot of them came because of Mesut Ozil. But as of right now, I mean, his wages are absolutely just killing the club right now, especially if he's not playing, you know, because at the beginning when Arteta came at first, it was like, you know what, if he's here for a year and a half remainder of his deal, and if he's playing and if he's playing well, it's not that bad. But if he's just sitting at home, not doing anything at all, it doesn't make any sense at all. And it's the best thing to do is just find a way to get him out as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I think, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, I've been so, I'm not going to say I've defended him, but I also, I get what he brings to the table that nobody else does. And you can't deny that he brings a creativity to the side. And all the Ozil haters will be quickly Googling how many assists has he done this season. Being a creative force is not just about the last pass before a goal. It can be creating space. It can be dragging people out of position. It can be just helping the ball flow in terms of keeping your attacks moving. And Mesut Ozil does all of those things. Look, something's obviously gone seriously wrong, because prior to the lockdown, he was very much a part of Mikel Arteta's plans, and post that he's not anymore. Is it because of Is it because of the what happened with the pay cuts? I don't know, that he didn't want it. Some people will say that he was justified in at least questioning where the money was going, considering that we've now seen the club make redundancies. So, you know, it's again, it's another subject that just divides everyone. And as a fan base, sometimes we just got to shut up, be fans of the fucking football club, support the players that are wearing the red and white shirt, and get behind them. And we can talk about the crap on the side, and we can talk about it after the games and in between the games. But the minute they walk out on that football pitch, all of that shit has to be put to one side. And I feel like so much of our fan base at the moment are just incapable of doing that. And it's a real, real problem. Mohammed, thank you so much for joining us, mate. And really appreciate your time. And hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Absolutely. See you, Harry. See you, Albert.
Cheers, bro.
Cheers, mate. All the best.
Yes, sir.
That was the brilliant Mohammed. Albert, we're going to wrap it up. So let's wrap it up together. Let's talk a little bit and get your take on the Ainsley Maitland-Niles thing. We've touched on it a couple of times during the show, but of course, we've heard that Ainsley Maitland-Niles is up for sale. As I said earlier on in the show, I understand that that's not something that the club and Mikel Arteta are at loggerheads over. That's just fake news, basically. Is he somebody you'd be looking to hold on to? Because L'African Gunner quoted his value at £40 million, which I thought was a
little... We wouldn't get that through.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically saying that he's as valuable as Thomas Partey, which I completely disagree with. So, taking into account that we're probably... We'd be lucky if we got half of that. Would you be looking to sell him this summer?
You know what? It's interesting, Maitland-Niles. What I would say, Harry, I think Arsenal have lost that ruthless streak for years. You know, sometimes if I look at Maitland-Niles' performances this season, it's sort of been, it's been stop and start. I mean, if I take it from the point when Arteta came in and Ainsley had a run of games, he was doing well, and then we played Chelsea away, Bellerin comes back in the team, and more or less from that point, Maitland-Niles has completely just disappeared from the team. And then we hear about the late training turn up and maybe question of his attitude. With Ainsley, I'll be honest with you, I'm 50-50. If I have my ruthless hat on and Arsenal talk about finances and we haven't got any money, where can we generate the income from? And if I was being ultra, ultra ruthless, not that I've got anything against Maitland-Niles or even Bellerin, but personally, Harry, I would sell Maitland-Niles, Bellerin, and get Max Aarons in.
Okay,
Max Aarons is hot property. I think I tweeted about him before the start of last season. Then people might think, "Oh, yeah, but he played for Norwich." But we need to be a bit bigger than that and look at the bigger context of he's a young player, 20 years old, unbelievable prospect, would fit in perfectly into Arsenal. Yes, we've got Cedric there, but that for me would be more so a backup if you went and got Max Aarons. But that's just me speaking as a fan who I would like to see at the club. But I think with Ainsley, it's 50-50. If he stayed, I wouldn't complain. But then I could totally understand if we sell him with my ruthless head on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Right, guys, we're going to leave it there because we've been going for nearly an hour and a half. It was only supposed to be an hour show. It's been great. And thank you to everybody who's joined us. Thank you to everybody who's in the live chat. Thank you to everybody who's going to watch this back later on, to those of you going to listen via the audio. I really, really appreciate your support. And as we said, tonight was a fans phone-in show to talk a bit about transfers, talk a bit about the biggest issues surrounding our football club. But also it was a bit of a celebration to say thank you to everyone because we hit the 5K mark, as I said, which, as I said earlier on in the show, we've had a very decent following on the audio platforms for a while now. But we're trying to catch up on YouTube and we feel like we're getting there now. And it really is great. And it means the world to me. And I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for your continued support. Even if we don't always agree on every subject, it's good old healthy debate. That's it. What's football without a bit of debate? But yeah, thank you all so much and take care of yourselves. I hope you will stay safe in these weird times. And we'll be back next Monday with another fans phone in, and we'll be bringing you some live transfer update streams throughout the rest of the week. So stay tuned to those. Until next time, take care. Cheers.